Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, top supply chain industry professionals and the nation's top thought leaders join host Brian Strait and share their unique insights to help supply chain managers stay one step ahead of their competition. This is Talking Supply Chain. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Talking Supply Chain. I'm your host, Brian Strait, and I'm pleased you have joined us today. Today, we're going to get into one of my favorite topics, shopping. No, we won't be buying anything, unfortunately, but my guest today is going to help us kind of understand where the future of retail and omnichannel fulfillment is going. I'd like to welcome to this episode Akash Gupta, co-founder and CEO of warehouse robotics company Grey Orange. Welcome, Akash.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Great joy. I'm excited to get into this and kind of talk some retail and shopping. To get started, can you tell, just briefly tell the audience a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about Grey Orange as well?
Sure. Akash Gupta, co-founder, CEO, Grey Orange. Grey Orange, we've been out here for last 12, 13 years, started our journey with supply chain automation. And as the world evolved, today we are helping largest of the retailers to build most efficient omni-channel networks, either by automating supply chain or by managing or kind of converting retail stores into truly omni-channel nodes, getting the customer experience right, but also getting the omni-channel execution done through stores and using that inventory effectively. And I think it's a very, very interesting topic to talk at this point of time.
Yeah, great. And I'm interested to get your take on this. Obviously, you said you've been around about 12 years or so with Grey Orange, so you've got some perspective here, I think. Can you kind of just, as we set the stage for the conversation today, can you kind of talk a little bit about what changes you've seen with consumer expectations over the last few years? I know COVID created a lot of change. You know, kind of what that change is and what the impact it's having on the retail industry in general.
Sure. Yeah, I think when you look at overall, I think there are two or three core things that have, changed. I think the first thing is, of course, the instant gratification or the timing bit of it, where you would want to, get something delivered in few hours or day or two. I think, of course, Amazon led that charge. And today, I think that's a basic expectation from anybody kind of shopping to kind of receive their items within few hours to a day or a couple of day max, right? That's been one expectation. I think second thing is that, the whole aspect of being able to interact with a brand in an omni-channel fashion, and I'll just quickly double click on this, is that can you really look at what's available in the store and go and pick it up, or can you you are in the store and you are, there's something not available. Can it get shipped immediately? So I think just there is a expectation of interaction with the brand in an omni-channel way and a very seamless way, where irrespective of where the inventory is, the consumption, both the buying part of it, the discovery part of it, the buying part of it, and then receiving part of it, seems to be in a very seamless is what the expectation is, and now what it really means for retailers, right? To kind of take care of these two expectations is that they need to look at their inventory network differently. Earlier, how it was all looked at was that we have distribution centers and fulfillment centers. Distribution centers are sending goods to stores. Fulfillment centers are sending goods to customers. And retail stores were the places where somebody would come and shop. But I think today, when you look at these two, fundamental change in expectations, retailers are thinking about all their inventory nodes in a holistic fashion, and are looking to fulfill these two needs of kind of sending goods, within few hours, 2 days, and, giving that omni-channel experience. They are looking at their inventory nodes all together in a holistic way. So I think those are, I would say, core changes on the consumer expectation and what it means for the retailers.
Yep. I want to, you mentioned inventory management as part of that, right? And I want to zero in on that a little bit. Ever since COVID, people have become aware of what the supply chain is, right? Like nobody cared prior to COVID. Then COVID happened, we all cared. And that kind of has made the supply chain customer facing in many ways, right? And e-commerce has certainly done that. And that impacts a number of areas. It's marketing and sales. It impacts delivery drivers, warehouse operators, communication customers, right? So with that focus, and especially on the inventory management, as customers log on and want to see whether they have inventory, where is inventory, can I get it, how quickly can I get it? Can we focus a little bit, how do the retailers deliver on these promises of fast and accurate delivery and inventory management? Like, so what kind of strategy, I guess, in order to accomplish these things so that customer-facing portion of this is successful?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. So firstly, I think retailers are in that journey of not really segregating their inventory as retail and e-commerce inventory, right? Till I would say 3-4 years back, most of the retailers were looking as, this is my retail inventory and this is my e-commerce inventory, right? And from the inventory management perspective, that is rapidly changing, where you are not really allocating the inventory to a channel at the very beginning. You are basically looking at the demand and at the very last moment allocating your inventory to a particular channel, right? So that's one fundamental change in inventory management strategy that is being implemented, and people are looking at it, and it's almost become a necessity. Second piece of it is that inventory in retail store, inventory management and inventory accuracy in retail store has started becoming very, very important, because when the retail stores were just being used for somebody coming in and they would pretty much get what they see and that's it, right? And but today, you are shipping from store and likes of that. Today, if you look at effective inventory accuracy in the store, and why I'm saying is effective, because I call effective is that when you really need it, can you find something within a couple of minutes? Because if you can't find something a couple of minutes, it's really not there. So if you look at effective inventory accuracy in stores, it's still in mid 80s, right? Which means that 20% or so of the orders that you want to ship from store, or people want to come and pick up from the store, you cannot be done because of inventory accuracy. So the need for having inventory accuracy in the retail stores, where you are able to really pick, pack, and ship, or prepare it for the collection, has become really, really important. So I think just summarizing it, making sure that the inventory allocation is happening at the very end of the journey to a certain channel, and then ensuring that inventory accuracy in stores, because warehouses always had much better inventory accuracy because you were kind of showing that inventory on the websites and things like that. But now today, the retail inventory also has become so important. Having the right inventory accuracy in stores is second part that has become very critical.
Yeah. So, and that goes without saying that data is a huge part of making this successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So can you kind of talk about what you're seeing as far as retailers, the way they're using data, and are there areas that maybe retailers are not taking advantage of the data that they have available to them? Is there some part of it that just saying, they're just missing out on this opportunity there?
Yeah, I think this is one topic where, at Grey Orange, we have spent a lot of time, especially on the retail side of it, because when you look at just from the data perspective for e-commerce, right? Today, I think we are all aware of it, that anytime we click on some website and anytime we put something on cart, and all our actions on a website are tracked, right? So you would, my history, your history will be all available in every website, that I went and clicked on these three items, I spent 10 minutes looking at this item and likes of that, right? Now, if you just translate that to the retail store, where you still are getting 60-70% of your business done, there is just one data point that is traditionally available at the retail store, that you bought or not, right? That's it. That's pretty much the only data that is available in the retail store, But there is, you know, opportunity of a lot more data that you can, you know, kind of do, you can utilize, right? You know, if you're looking at fashion stores, what is getting tried, what is getting bought, on what aisles is the customer spending more time on, you know, what they are really, you know, trying to buy, when they are, you know, unable to find something. So there is a lot more consumer behavior that is available in the stores to basically learn from and kind of optimize the overall retail part of it. And that data is today does not get captured. I think today we are looking at some of the RFID solutions that we are working with some of the retailers, which are helping them to, you know, pretty much look at retail store as a web page, where you really have a good understanding of what people are trying, what people are buying, where people are spending more time and likes of that. And that data is so valuable in running the overall retail business. And coming back, that data also really helps the merchandising team to make sure that they are ensuring the right inventory levels and inventory management is much, much better and likes of that. It also, I was just looking at this example. You know, we did this study with one of the customers that, you know, what you're putting on the windows of your stores also is starting to drive the e-commerce traffic for that product, right? So things are, you know, so connected, and this just having this data that, you know, I put something on the windows of my store and my e-commerce, you know, transactions for those SKUs went up is a very, very valuable data to have for a merchandising team who's kind of figuring out how do they place the inventory correctly and how do they leverage all of this correctly. So I think there are tons of aspects of interaction of consumer with the inventory that you can capture that can really help you to place the inventory better and also kind of make sure that you get the best yield out of the inventory.
Yep. And I think that's so interesting how that's kind of developed over time, and that's really what's fun led to this omni-channel fulfillment environment that we're living in today. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. in the end, the point of retail, there's only one point of retail, and that's to get a product into a customer's hands, right? However you do that. So the omni-channel fulfillment model is allowing the stores and the online and everything to navigate and allowing the warehouses, mm-hmm. kind of navigate that. And part of that process making it so much easier these days is automation. I think this is exactly where you guys at Gray Orange kind of excel, right? With the automation mm-hmm. component of this and the tech component. But so many companies install automation and robotics mm-hmm. and then they don't actually see the benefits of that. You know, that mm-hmm. it may create mm-hmm. more inefficiency. So let's start maybe if you can kind of talk about from the fulfillment side, what are the types of automation that retailers should be looking at and where are the best fits? I guess the second part of that question is where are the best fits for humans alongside sure, them in that process?
Sure. I think before I go deeper into the types of automation and fits, I think there are a couple of more core things. And you said something very interesting in terms of, you know, automation and then achieving the value of automation, right? And yeah. I think this is something that we talk to our customers day in and day out, that there's a lot of difference between robotic uptime and fulfillment outcome, right? You know, because what we all need to understand is that there are two core automation that are needed in the warehouse, right? One is physical automation, which is all about, you know, how do you get robots, machinery, and likes of that. But there is another aspect of automation, which is decision-making automation, right? A lot of the warehouses today are on manual decision-making as well, right? And what we have seen is that, you know, the decision-making automation is a necessary factor for you to really get good value out of your robotic automation, right? And that's what we try and do with Gray Matter, that it helps you convert robotic uptime into fulfillment outcome, because it's not about just executing something. What to do, when to do, and how to do, and how to orchestrate all of this so that it stitches together perfectly to give you the right throughput and the best cost per unit is pretty much what the final value is all about, right? So I think that is one very, very important piece. Coming to the types of automation, you know, today how I think about this is in the modern automation world, there are two or three layers, right? The first layer, which I think everybody should definitely have it, irrespective of if the automation is, if the operation is manual, semi-manual, or highly automated, the decision-making should be automated, right? So you should have a good intelligent warehouse execution system that is enabling real-time execution, omni-channel, and likes of that. So that should definitely be there as a constant layer. Then in the automation, you know, today there are two types of automation. First is what we call as drop-in automation, where you can drop in certain robotic technologies and likes of that without impacting a lot of infrastructure changes. And that will give you like a 20 to 30, 40% incremental benefit, right? So that's one layer. If you're doing, if the volumes are lower and likes of that, that is something that you can do, right? The second, which is, you know, more advanced automation, is where you really have to change the infrastructure and likes of that. It can still be done in a brownfield warehouse or a greenfield warehouse, but you change the storage infrastructure and you basically place like a goods to person system or likes of that, you know, which will give you 2x, 3x benefits, you know, and really help you scale the whole warehouse up. Now, you know, a combination of advanced automation and an intelligent software can also do a lot of different things across omnichannel. Firstly, it can make sure that you can, you know, distribute things to stores and fulfill to the customer from the same warehouse. But also you can apply a lot of intelligence in how you are replanning stores. Like there are cases where we are doing where we are sending put ready pallets or trolleys to the store so that when things reach to store, you don't need to sort them. It's almost like they are arranged in the trolley in the sequence you need to replan your shelves, right? So you can do a lot of good things in the full in your you know, warehouse itself that makes things like distribution and fulfillment very conducive to your store. There are customers who are shipping goods from warehouses, you know, for let's say pickup in store, right? How do you do this intelligently so that you don't increase the amount of work in the store? Again, kind of is an important part, and these things can only be done when you have you know, decision-making automation through a good WES and robotic automation all coming together.
And I always love to ask this question about that, because anytime anybody talks about putting automation in, robotics in, the first question out of everybody's mind, right, is, well, what does this mean for the people? Right. So I assume that you know, humans are still going to remain a key part of this process. So I guess one, where do humans fit as
Yeah,
we
no,
automate
absolutely. I think,
facilities?
you know, I think if you look at any kind of physical automation in the warehouse, there are literally two major work that gets done. One is, you know, mobile. So one is basically just moving things from point A to point B. And second is manipulation, which is taking things from one case to putting it into an order box or into something. So there's mobility and there's manipulation. And today, where the state of automation is, mobility is something that has been, you know, that is completely solved, right? There are multiple methods of automating the mobility part of it. But then there are aspects of manipulation that still, where human beings are still much, much more efficient than any machinery out there, right? And they were not really efficient on mobility because there were people walking miles and miles and getting tired and likes of that. So today what automation has done is kind of removed mobility, but which has made manipulation, which is picking items and, you know, just kind of managing these things much, much easier and faster and more efficient because people don't have to do mobility part of it. So I think where the state of automation today is, it's a fairly good balance of what people are good at and what machines are good at, and it's a good combination, giving lot more efficiency.
So as humans remain part of this process, I think this is a question. I've always been curious about this question. And that is, as an organization decides, hey, we're going to add robotics, we're going to add automation to our fulfillment operation, our that requires sometimes maybe a rethinking of the design, you know, the network design. Do you think from the perspective, how do I drop automation into our current facility? Or do you say, how do we insert people into an automated facility? In other words, do you think, as you think about redesigning it or designing a new one, if the case may be, do you think automation first and then humans, or do you think humans first and then automation to supplement?
Yeah, so I think, you know, with automation, there is definitely some bit of process paradigm thinking change, right? You know, if you operate the warehouse, you know, exactly in the same way, which is automated, right? You know, it's not going to give you the right value out there, right? So I think whether it is brownfield, like, you know, a manual warehouse, you're putting automation, or, you know, a greenfield new warehouse where you have automation, you're bringing in people, I think, you know, there is a certain amount of change management and learning curve, right? So either ways, there has to be a lot of focus on, you know, change management, thinking change, and likes of that. And that's an important journey every operations have to kind of make, irrespective of are you going to do automate a brownfield warehouse or kind of building a new warehouse. I have been part of, you know, hundreds of these, you know, go lives, both on brownfield and you know, greenfield. And I think change management is pretty much equally needed. Of course, in a brownfield warehouse, you got to unlearn a little bit and learn. So there is a slightly heavier overhead to it, but still, I think there's significant change management or learning that needs to be kind of imparted, and the whole way of working of operations need to evolve to really get the you know, value of out of automation.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, so it's that part of it. It's a change management. It's a communication, right? That plays a big role in the success of any initiative you do. Yeah. I do want to get to two additional questions here in the few minutes we have left. Starting with the future of retail stores. So increasingly, as you've talked about already, that the stores are acting as fulfillment centers in many ways. So how do you see this growing and continuing to grow, where the stores become more of a fulfillment center and less of a traditional retail store? And, you know, or how do you see the store, the role of the store eventually evolving?
So I think the role of the store in next 5 years are going to evolve into a very core customer experience center plus fulfillment center, right? You know, I think it's going to get pretty balanced between, you know, today, you know, retail stores are not necessarily customer experience center, right? There is a hint of it, but not necessarily a true customer experience center. So I think, you know, if I were to imagine a store 5 years down the line, it will be a perfect combination of a customer experience center, very, very, you know, kind of intentionally built for giving that unique customer experience, but also the back end of it acting as a fulfillment center. So I think that's the balance. And you know, we one of the customers, we are pretty much redefining the role of store associate into an omni associate, right? Because you know, what if you were to do this, the role of a store associate is going to change so much, because on one hand, they will have to be focused on, you know, that differentiated customer experience. On the other hand, they still need to kind of operate with pick, pack, ship and things like that. So, you know, we are pretty much defining the role of a store associate with a couple of our customers into omni associates, because that's what we believe it's all going to get to, where you provide a very differentiated, personalized, unique customer experience in the stores, but also use the back end of the store as a very effective fulfillment, you know, center. I think that's the balance it's going to hit.
Yeah, and then that's and this touches on all the things I think you've talked about too, right? I mean, the automation, the data, and the insight, the inventory management. Yeah, because if these stores are customer experience centers as opposed to a store, that probably means there's less products in that store. So when an item gets bought, you need to be able to refill that quickly.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't wait for the next chart to show up a week from now to fill that item, because you might only have three of any item in the store now instead of 12.
That's right. And those are all the strategies, you know, customers are working on, retailers are working on, so that they can improve the, you know, the layouts of the store, they can improve the display of the store, they can improve the interactions of the store and likes of that. And that even how the back end of the store or back store and sales floor interacts with each other, and how the operations works between them is also, you know, evolving rapidly, because, you know, the whole change in the thought process is also having significant, you know, changes to be done in that interaction today.
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating time for retail in general. You know, like one of the things I've been fascinated is how malls, right, are reinventing themselves as lifestyle centers, right, where you mm-hmm. have some retail, mm-hmm. you have restaurants, you have some entertainment, you have, you know, a variety of different things in it, right, that you used to mm-hmm. walk mm-hmm. down Main Street and get. Now it's all in one place in the mall. But mm-hmm. I do want to get to one final question, you know, asking you to kind of put on your futurist hat a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the omnichannel fulfillment space, where do you see that heading over the next 5 to 10 years? Are there any technologies that you're aware of, or that you think, you know, are new technologies on the horizon? Is there new design opportunities for organizations that they can do for facilities?
I think I'll talk about 2-3 things. You know, one thing is, I think there's definitely a lot of work going on making sure that inventory can be tracked digitally all across. You know, RFID is one solution of it. You know, there are aspects around even tracking through Bluetooth and likes of that. But having, you know, real-time understanding of inventory, you know, that is getting scanned every few minutes, so that you have a real-time count and location of the inventory, irrespective of where it is in the world, literally from the ship till the home, you would need to know where inventory is and how much it is, right? So there are different aspects of technology, but I'm pretty sure that 10 years down the line, you would have a Google map of world inventory available for the retailers, where you would exactly know where the inventory is in the journey of manufacturer to consumer, right? That's one part that is kind of growing very, very aggressively. Second, I think, you know, I think there is a Amazon Prime version of, a loyalty thing within the retail. I strongly believe that, you know, when you start looking at that premium customer experience, right, there has to be some kind of Prime version of loyalty apps or kind of loyalty programs within the retail stores, where you can provide premium services around, virtual try-on, you know, being able to book fitting rooms, being able to get fashion, assistance, or being able to get home improvement assistance and things like that. So I believe that the whole loyalty programs today that are there in the retail stores, which today haven't really taken up, you know, none of us really care a lot about today that do you have, a retailer's loyalty program, right? Because the only thing we want is, okay, we have a Prime for something so that we can get free deliveries. But I am pretty sure there's a version of that that's going to happen in retail stores as well. For example, if you have, let's say, just a random example of, let's say you have a H&M loyalty program for retail stores. And when you go in a retail store, you would get a much differentiated personalized experience than a regular person. So I think there is something there that will come up in next 5 years. And lastly, I think, the back stores of the retail stores definitely need to be completely reimagined, and they need to be technology, both from robotics and IoT, that will have to be put in there to make that whole fulfillment and replenishment to sales floor and all of that much more efficient. So I think those are three tracks which I think are going to see significant, innovation, and of course will have to be paired up with AI intelligence, data, and aspects of that, which will kind of make this very, very powerful. But those are the three strains that I look at, of course, aspect around, Gen AI in terms of helping the customers, interacting with the customers and all will have to be part of the overall customer experience that we are trying to put in. But these are three or four things that I see are going to have significant impact and changes across next 5-10 years. Yep.
And if it doesn't exist yet, if anybody wants to create a loyalty app that encompasses all the stores in one place, I don't have to fill out a form 17 times to give my phone number 100 exactly. times different stores, give me a call if you want to build one. Akash, thank you for the discussion today. If people want to get in touch with Gray Orange, how's the best way to approach it to do that?
Yeah, I think, website is definitely one way or shooting a quick note at akash@grayorange.com is another.
Okay, great. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Akash Gupta of Gray Orange for taking time to discuss the future of retail and omnichannel fulfillment with me. I hope you guys got something out of this conversation today, and I hope it at the very least maybe sparks some discussion within your own organizations. I want to thank also all of you that took the time out of your day to listen today. I greatly appreciate it. A new episode of Talking Supply Chain comes out each Thursday. You can find it on scmr.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, this is Brian Strait, and you've been listening to Talking Supply Chain. Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, supplychain247.com, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. For more information on this topic or to sign up for our weekly newsletter, a print or a digital subscription to our publication, visit scmr.com. We hope you will join us for our next episode. For Supply Chain Management Review, I'm Brian Strait, and thank you for listening.